Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have Morgan DeNicola. She is the executive director of the DeNicola Family Foundation. Welcome to the show, Morgan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, this is a long time coming. I'm so excited to share your message and what you're doing, not just for the local community, but the world. You're a philanthropist, humanitarian. I could go on and on. I want you to take over and kind of explain like where your passion for giving came from.
Okay, yeah. So I run my family foundation. It started out as this small group called Cosmo Cares after a trip to Africa that I was able to go on. At first, I was doing marketing with my family. My parents are serial entrepreneurs, have had several really successful companies. And one day my dad was like, I need you to go to Africa. And I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean you need me to go to Africa? This is crazy. I go on this trip where I actually went to an orphanage that was for children that either had HIV or AIDS or their parents died from HIV or AIDS. And that trip just completely changed the way I viewed the entire world. I came back and said to my parents, love you guys. But I can't do marketing anymore. I need to do something. And luckily, my parents were always teaching us the importance of giving back and caring about our communities. So they were very quick to say, yeah, let's kind of figure out what we could be doing. And that was the creation of Cosmo Cares. And as that grew, we decided to actually create a formal foundation, which became the DeNicola Family Foundation. And it's kind of awesome because we represent our whole family and we have these four pillars that we try to focus on, which is humanitarian recognition, cultural diplomacy, conservation, and world health. So that's kind of it in the quickest way of explaining what we do.
Such small things, right? I mean, trying to tackle world health issues. I mean, it's a lot. I give you a lot of credit. How does someone like yourself, where do you start? Do you turn to a board and you all kind of get into this like creation mode where you come up with ideas to help advocate for people and organizations?
It's funny because coming from my business background and my family's business background, we started to kind of figure out a different way to approach a lot of these issues. We had all different groups and businesses or people that wanted to do more things but didn't quite know how to do it. So we would just kind of listen to different groups that were already contributing and kind of teaming up with them and seeing, how do you do this? Like Operation Warm, what is the need that you're hearing and how do you go about kind of tackling some of these needs? And as we did that, we just kind of continued to build our community and our relationships with other groups that are doing really, really fascinating ways of giving back to their different communities. And then we kind of did a twist on it and we would think, okay, how can we do something similar, but also slightly different and incorporate all of these people that want to be doing more, but don't quite know how to do it. So it's a lot more networking for us when we started out to see who wanted to kind of join teams and kind of mesh these worlds together. And now we're pretty good about knowing what seasons, what needs are kind of around those seasons. And a lot of people are really great at reaching out to us and saying, we need books, we need clothing, we need a washer and dryer in the school. And we are able to see, okay, can we do this on our own? Can we bring somebody else in to do this? So a lot of it's just kind of meeting new people and really having these down-to-earth conversations about the needs.
Yeah, there's so much need out there. Like I can only imagine the requests that you get and what you decide to tackle. Here locally, do you want to talk about some of the great programs that you've been doing? I've seen it all over your Instagram, but let people know. And just in case, you know, they want to check out your website and find events for the future.
Yeah, right now we are very food focused locally. A lot of people are having a hard time putting food on the table, and we're seeing that that is a big, big conversation. And so we're going around to a lot of the food pantries, some local, very small ones, some bigger ones, and collecting all kinds of canned goods, and trying to stack these pantries to make it easier for people to get food on the table, but also focusing on healthy food on the table, which I think is a big issue that we're having. So working with different groups, and we've worked with different grocery stores, getting fresh produce that they were, you know, about to turn over, and just trying to make sure that in any area in the tri-state area, there is a place that you can go to make sure you can get food. So we've been very focused on that. But we are also going to start collecting animal food. This is an interesting thing that was brought to my attention. This is why I love when people reach out to help us have ideas. We can't think of everything, but a lot of people are having issues feeding their animals as well. And they have to, you know, give up their pets. And we thought, well, there are actual groups out there that have animal food pantries. And so we're collecting some pet food that we'll be giving to these different animal food pantries. So not only can people make sure they put food on their table, but they can also take care of their fur babies as well and not have to be so worried about also making sure that they eat. So we're doing that. And then, of course, we're going to be coming up on the holidays. So we will be collecting plenty of coats, toys, all of those fun things. We'll also be collecting books and making sure everybody has a wonderful holiday season and gets some gifts under those trees as well.
And on Thanksgiving, you gave turkeys to an organization in Norristown?
Yes. It's called God Feeds. And they're just an incredible group. So we fed underserved communities in the Norristown area. It's a place for them to go, sit down with their families and have a meal. I absolutely love them. If you want to check them out, they're an incredible group. They also focus on making sure there's fresh produce. I believe every weekend in the Norristown area. But yeah, I absolutely love volunteering with my family to, especially on Thanksgiving, to feed the less fortunate. So that's a near and dear to my heart program that we do every year.
So explain that feeling, because I think it's such a great feeling that many people don't even understand because they probably haven't given back in some capacity. What does it feel like for you when you're there making someone's day who may not have eaten in a few days?
Growing up around business, I feel like everybody always talks about the bottom line, and that's how you can make sure that, you know, you met your goals. For me, when I know that I've actually helped somebody, then I know that I've achieved what it was that I set out for. And being in the world of philanthropy, it gets incredibly dark. I think a lot of people forget the struggles that a lot of people in the philanthropic world go through, because all you see is need. And when you can't help everybody, you get kind of like, well, what am I doing? Who am I helping? And in those moments where you're able to actually sit down with somebody and make eye contact and see them smile, and I feel like, you know, they can drop their shoulders and relax for a minute. Those moments to me are for me to breathe as well. I feel like I've done something, I've accomplished something, and something that is so important to be doing in this world, especially if we're lucky enough to be in a position that we can do it. So we like to say the boots on the ground, and that's what we mean by that, is those moments where you can interact and actually see in service the help that you are giving to anyone and everyone.
Where did you go to college?
I went to college at Long Island University, out on Long Island. And I went there to become a teacher. And yeah, I decided while going through all of that, that maybe I wasn't meant to really be a teacher, but truth be told, a lot of the things that I learned in becoming a teacher, I use every day, and how to talk to people and connect with people. So I utilized that a lot, even though I was not able to actually get into a classroom.
That's why I asked that question, because I was wondering if back then you thought you'd be in this position.
No, no. I wanted to work with special needs kids. I actually went to school, special education, elementary education, and because I'm dyslexic and had a lot of difficulty in school, and I wanted, that is kind of what I wanted to do, was make it easier and make people feel seen and understood when they felt kind of lost or not as intelligent or, you know, kind of like they don't belong. I wanted to make sure that no child felt that way. So I'm able to do something similar, but not quite the same.
Yeah, no, it's great. That's why I was curious if you ever thought that you would be in this position to help so many people. And I mean, it's such a wonderful feeling. And I'm sure as time goes on, your family foundation just started, but as time goes on, you'll be documenting these moments more and more. And people can see, you know, what goes into it, because it's not easy. It's not like you're just, you know, getting turkeys and showing up to an event. I mean, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more to it, because you want to show everyone that they can contribute, but also I like to say, make it so anyone can kind of join your team and be a part of it and want to be a part of it. But there's definitely, it's not easy to get people to, everybody wants to help. They don't know how. And I think that there's a little bit of that lack of trust in an odd way. So you also want people to trust that you're out there doing things well and doing things for everyone, and that anybody can be a part of it. So it's definitely a little more difficult than you'd like it to be, but there's so much hope. And especially right now, you're seeing so many communities really coming together and helping one another. So I like to be engaged, because that those moments are when you really see the beauty in people, not just the, oh, these people are struggling or this or that or all the negative things. You can see these groups really, really coming together to help one another.
And your family also gives a humanitarian award every year at Super Bowl, wherever the what would you call it, the hosting city is.
Yes, we do. We recognize either NFL players or coaches or front staff that are focused on giving back to the communities that they came from. And it's incredible to see these professional athletes really trying very hard to give back to wherever it was that they came from. So we have the Denicola Steinberg Humanitarian Award, well, Steinberg Denicola Humanitarian Award that we give out every year the night before the Super Bowl. We have a party, but we really want to recognize the contributions that a lot of these players and teams continue to do and inspire, you know, the new draft class, and really get this to continue going on. So we have that award, but we're also starting to work on one for the sciences, which is near and dear to my heart, because I really think that we need to recognize all the people out there that are so dedicated in healthcare and all over the place to try to, you know, continue the progression of us as a healthy society. So we're working on that. And then we also have a junior award, the Rising Star Award, that is kids showing this knack for philanthropy or charity at a very young age that are starting to give back. So we started this where you can come to our website and tell us about students or family members or kids in your community that are really starting to give back and dedicating their life to this at such a young age. So we give them a plaque as well as a little bit of money towards whatever it is that they're trying to achieve, to encourage that again at a young age and get people excited about it and say, like, not only are you doing a great thing, but yeah, like, look at you go and continue to encourage that. So we're really excited about that one. It's great to see kids doing it at a very young age.
Is that something new? Has it been given yet, or you're just still receiving inquiries?
We did it this year. I believe we had six students, and we will be doing it again next year. And so anybody can message us about this. Anybody who has a kid out there that's just really doing some great things, we will continue to take these applications and hang on to them and check in. So even if they didn't win this year, we will reevaluate. So if anybody knows anyone out there, send us any information you have.
Yeah, kids are amazing. And just giving them that boost of confidence that they did so well, it's really all it takes to kind of keep them moving in a positive direction ahead.
Yes, yes. And you definitely want to encourage it, because it's, I feel like the more, and the other students see these kids getting acknowledged. So we've done assemblies where we give them the plaque, and that way their fellow students can see like, oh, wait, this is a cool thing. This is, look at that, them getting acknowledged, and hopefully continue to inspire one another that this is actually a cool thing. It's a cool thing to care.
That's awesome. And I want to go back to another point that you had just previously mentioned, that you want to make health in our world safer and better. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, global health is such a big pillar for us. We've done things with the American Thoracic Society and Lung Health, where we brought students from around the world to present their findings and the things that they're studying to a big conference, so they can present options of different treatment that they might not have been able to present on such a large scale. Mm-hmm. We've also done things with cancer research. We've done things recently more with like NICUs. We think that it's really important to keep the focus on sciences and health, because a healthy mind and a healthy body makes it easier for us to contribute to the world around us. If we're not healthy, it makes it very hard for us to help one another and really be the best versions of ourselves for our communities. So world health is just incredibly important, and also a reminder that it's all interconnected. So the health in another country does affect us, and vice versa. So it's a tough one to do, but also a very important thing to continue to acknowledge the progress that we are making.
So does that have to do with disease, or also just like types of foods and or everything?
It's everything. It even ties into our conservation tab that we have on one of our pillars. It's also conservation, because again, if we're not in a healthy environment, we're not going to be healthy. So it's all interconnected. And even like you were, you had said with food, food's incredibly important. That's also why we're trying to get fresh produce to different areas, because it's even harder to get produce, let alone, getting in front of a doctor and things like that. So it's all very interconnected in all every aspect, including mental health, which is something we're really starting to get more involved in. That's even something that needs to be talked about a lot more. All of this makes us, again, better versions of ourselves. So it's all interconnected.
Yeah, so let's talk about some fun stuff with you. Morgan, what do you want to bring to this family foundation? Like, what do you see yourself doing for this foundation in the next 5 years?
I want us to grow. I want us to grow and really be a place that anyone can go to make suggestions of programs or changes, and be a safe place for people to come and have conversations and feel like they're being heard and contributing. So I want to be a safe place for people to come, get excited, really feel kind of the love of being part of this bigger team, and also rebuilding, I think, the trust between philanthropic endeavors, charity endeavors, and the everyday person that wants to contribute, but also is a little bit nervous because of a lot of things that have happened in, the past. You're seeing individual donors kind of been on the decline since 2016. And a lot of the times when you're asking them, well, why do you think this is? It's kind of a lack of trust. So I want to be kind of part of a movement to really say, no, there's a whole group of next gen philanthropists out there that want to hear from you, that want to make these corrections, want us all to get involved and really start to come up with solutions, not just saying what all the issues are. I've said this before, I'll say it again. We're aware of what the issues are. The issues may have evolved over time, but they've always kind of been the same. So what we need right now is solutions. And that takes a big, big group of people to come together and put our heads together and really come up with new and unique ideas to try to resolve some of these issues. So my hope is for us to continue to grow, for us to continue to learn to listen to one another and really realize we are all on the same team. And that it's a great team to be a part of.
Yeah. And when it comes to the business side of things, I mean, it is a business. So
it is.
Are you actively fundraising? Are there grants that you can tap into? How does that all work for someone that may not understand?
Well, it depends on which part of what I'm involved in you're referring to. Us as the Denicola Family Foundation, we're privately funded right now, but we are opening up to donations. We right now are more taking donated items, but we are definitely a place you can donate funds for specific programs. And then we're hopefully going to grow to a place that we will be able to apply for grants. With the NGO that I sit on the chair of, their grants, they're mostly funded by grants. But that's a little bit more complicated because they work with U.S.-based embassies all around the world. So those grants you have to apply for and hope that you get. Us as a foundation right now, we're not in the grant world, but we plan on getting into the grant world.
Now, is your family foundation also related to what your father does in Rome, or is that something completely separate?
That is something completely different, but we do work with them. So my father does two things in Rome. He works with Temple Rome, the hospital, Temple Hospital, and he does a lot of different education programs over there. But he also sits on the board of the Papal Foundation. That's an amazing group of people that come together that help fund a lot of the needs that are put in front of the Pope. And we've loved a bunch of the things that the Papal Foundation has gone to go and do. So we've joined in and helping them make sure that these things have been achieved. It's separate, but because it's so close to our family's heart and representing the Denicola family, we're always trying to make sure that we are doing things that represent our family as a whole. And that, again, is very important to my dad. So we continue to make sure we work with them, but we've worked with so many different groups all over the world because each member of our family is so drastically different that there's very few instances that we're like, no, we don't want to be a part of it. Well, if it has something to do with one of our pillars, we're probably going to join you.
That's great. I just went blank on what I was going to say. I was going to say something with just like your whole family and its unity is amazing. And I was just curious how you're marketing. Is it all word of mouth and referrals through like powerful relationships that you've harnessed over the years?
Yes. Well, it started out that way. It's been more of the connections through business and also now with the NFL and doing the things that we do with the NFL, it started out as kind of a word of mouth and different businesses that were working with one another. And then I kind of came on board and it became a little bit more like social media engagement, things that we see on social media platforms. It can be utilized and be a really great thing once you start looking at needs in your community and kind of branching out. Your algorithm just becomes a lot of these different groups putting out what they need. And it can be a great, great tool for you to see locally and globally who needs what, and then continuing to kind of be a soundboard for also other groups. So that's been a lot of fun for me, is hearing what other groups of people are doing and then kind of preaching like God Feeds or Operation Warm or Raise the Bar, being able to be another kind of person that also puts their word out, you become a part of a much bigger network of people trying to do things out there. So we kind of merged two worlds, the network of philanthropy and charity and the network of business and sales. And we kind of just took both worlds and put them together to make this kind of very interesting interconnected community.
Yeah. Are there foundations that you look up to that you would like to align yourself with?
Yes. The Bocelli Foundation. I absolutely love what they do. We have talked with them and we're continuing to talk to see what might be there that we can do with them. I absolutely love what they're doing. Like I said, I really like Raise the Bar, very small group in Jersey, doing some really great things. I feel like every time I'm out having a cup of coffee with somebody, I'm getting introduced to another great group and trying to figure out what I can do with them. But yeah, there's just so many out there that I would love to team up with. The Kate Spade does great things with women's mental health, and they're at a global level. Been trying to work something out to figure out what I can do with them. Yeah, there's so many.
I know, there really are. Is there anyone that you met that really had an impact on you just by doing the work that you do?
Ooh.
I'm sure there's many people that had an impact on you, but maybe some type of like key figure or some.
There's actually a lot. I mean, Vinny with God Feeds.
Andrea Bocelli himself. I'm sure you met him.
And his wife.
She looks beautiful.
Oh, and she's got a beautiful heart. And their continued just dedication to trying to give back to the world around them. It's contagious. There's a gentleman, Johnny Daniels. He does incredible work with Holocaust survivors. And there's so many that I've met that I look up to and I learn from and I continue to learn from. My dad's just seriously my mentor, and he's always introducing me to people that are doing incredible things. And I get to be a sponge and just learn and feed off of so many interesting people.
Yeah, I love that. Your dad is awesome. So must be so cool to have him as a father.
Some days. No, he's great. And honestly, he's really been him and my mom, just from them teaching us resilience, but also being able to listen to one another and continue to grow and not really give up on whatever your ambition is. And then just continuing to support us, because our family is, you know, my brother went and started his own gym and he's contributing to the world and to the health of the world. And he does a great job with what he does, and our family encouraged him. And then me coming back from Africa and being like, yeah, I'm leaving marketing. I have no idea what I'm going to do. And just for me to say, I just want to give back to the world, for them to be like, okay, now let's sit down and let's figure it out. If you really want to do this, let's do it. My mom and my dad are definitely, they're great at listening to what we want to accomplish, being real about it, and then really kind of pushing us to be the best versions of ourselves to achieve those things. So definitely, I want to say we're definitely blessed in that sense.
Yeah, you mentioned resilience. Talk about some of the characteristics that you think someone like yourself or in your position or leading a business needs to have.
Resilience and a knowledge that there are going to be times that you're going to mess up. We were having a conversation about this in one of the programs that we tried to do that just, it's still working out, but it's a little bit of a nightmare. And we were saying that you have to kind of, I don't like to say fail because you only fail when you give up, but you have to learn and know that there are going to be times that you're going to do things wrong. And the most important thing that you can do is learn from it and keep moving forward and not just let yourself say, I messed up. I'm probably not meant for this. I shouldn't be doing this. But to kind of have that thick skin of, I'm going to be criticized. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fall on my face, but let's get right back up and let's keep at it and just keep figuring out the best way of doing this, but without losing yourself. I think that that's a really important thing, to have your own identity as you do it, but also not to get too comfortable. And I think this is something that I argue with myself and other people, is we get to these places where we're satisfied in what it is that we're doing and we're very comfortable and we're like, oh, this is great. This is great. You know, but then you kind of get stagnant and you don't continue to be push yourself to be a little bit more, to achieve a little bit more. So I have to constantly remind myself when I get comfortable, okay, you're a little too comfortable. Now it's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to test a new program, a new relationship, and keep kind of building that. And I think a lot of the times when you do that, you'll really surprise yourself with what you're able to accomplish, rather than that self-doubt of, well, I'm good right here. I think that if I had done that, I'd still be in marketing.
Yeah, that's great advice. You have to kind of push yourself and take risks to be able to take it to the next level.
Yeah, and you have to just be, I think, like, that understanding that there are going to be those times that you're not right. And that's okay to not be right. And take that advice, take every advice that you can from anyone that you can, but also have that grain of salt and don't lose yourself.
And it's okay to be human and make mistakes, like you had said.
Yes. Yeah. And it's okay to get like a little like, I think I'm going to just curl up with this warm blanket for a little bit and
yeah,
have a woe is me moment. I think that those are okay as long as you pick yourself back up and you get back out there, because one of my favorite sayings is that the failure only occurs when you stop trying. And I think that that's really, really true.
Yeah, you can't give up. Never give up. Otherwise, you wouldn't make it as far as we have, you know? So I think some people have that like inner grit and others may struggle a bit for it, but I think everyone has it inside if they dig a little.
If you're passionate about what it is you want to achieve, then you have to dig deep. You definitely have to dig deep, and you have to really know what you're willing to go through. Because like, I'll mention my brother again. He trains a lot of people that do competitive weightlifting, and it's the only way you can do that is to kind of build yourself up to that point and keep trying and keep doing it and keep doing it. And that's how you're going to get to that point that you're successful. It's the same thing in business. It's the same thing in philanthropy. It's the same thing in anything in your branding. You have to just keep building at it and chipping away and knowing what you're willing to do to achieve this. And if you're like, no, I'm not really willing to do a whole lot, well, you're not going to get to really where you want to be.
Mm-mm. And I think some people are comfortable with that and staying, and that's fine. And then others just want to break through that barrier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still get to a certain point where I'm like, I don't think I'm there yet. there have been a few things that kind of have come across my desk that I'm like, yeah, I know I'm not there yet, but I'm not saying no, just probably not right at this juncture.
You'd be a great public speaker. Have you thought about that?
That is what I am currently working on, actually, with my branding. Just launched my website. It's for me to start doing a little bit more public speaking. I've been doing a lot of podcast guest appearances, and the hope is for me to get eventually to a place where I am doing a lot more public speaking. But that's one, when I speak about being uncomfortable, I am not quick to grab a microphone, believe it or not, even though this is here. Don't right. let you think that I'm quick to grab one. I'm definitely not. My father very much is, but it got to a point where with everyone that I was speaking with, they would say, you know, I really think you should. And so you eventually get like, okay, I guess I'm going to get really uncomfortable soon.
Right. Well, Morgan, you're a remarkable woman. I want people to be able to find you, tap into you, be able to reach out to you. Is your website the best, your Instagram or Facebook, or perhaps an email?
The Denicola Family Foundation, you can, there's a form at the end of the website that you can get in touch with me that goes directly to me, but also on our social media, the Denicola Family Foundation, Instagram and Facebook, that is also me. So you would be, it would be very easy for you to get in touch with me. Also Morgan Slyker Denicola, that's my hyphenated married name, is my social media. And I'm always willing to talk to people, as long as you're not rude. No, I'm just kidding. I'm always willing to have any kind of conversations about potential programs or ideas you might be having. So any of those is a great way to get in touch with me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, thanks for sharing your insight for Live Without a Net.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.